This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we start the final hour of Live Bet Saturday with a winner, Mr. Melusis. We're home.
Yes, in Tim I trust.
In Jimmy Ott we trust. Well done, sir. My good friend Jimmy Ott, yes. ESPN Baton Rouge, nails it with his handicap of LSU and Arkansas. Little worried there in the second inning. Three runs from Arkansas, but we quickly erased that. Hell of a performance from Cade Anderson. LSU wins 4-1, and you know, the misconception out there that it's over city in Omaha, not the case so far. 3-1 to the under in the first four games of the College World Series. That's Mark Melusis. I'm Tim Murray. Quick update from Edmonton. 2-0 is the score after 40 minutes of hockey. Your both goals came in the first period. Brad Marchand scored your first. Sam Bennett your second. First period over hits for the fifth consecutive game. Now, will we get to the over for the fifth consecutive game? Live line sits at 4.5. We actually still do, Mark, have one more baseball game to get to, and I know our next guest has handicapped that as well as handicapped the Sunday card. So let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in professional handicapper Rob Donaldson, who joins us courtesy once again of our progressive guest line. So Rob, still got a game tonight. We've got Giants at Chavez Ravine, total sitting 9. Juice varies at different shops, and we'll call it around -170 in favor of the Dodgers, who are going with Clayton Kershaw. Any angles you're looking at here tonight, as first pitch is about 10 minutes away in LA?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of crazy that we see Clayton Kershaw nowadays with a total sitting at 9, but I guess Father Time really is undefeated. And at the same time, he is still a very good pitcher. I would even say above league average in terms of how he's already produced this season, despite one kind of bad outing in the mix there. And for that reason, I do think that he can actually limit a Giants offense where, you know, if they're playing baseball, the offense typically isn't playing baseball. They're kind of sitting it out. And I think on the other side, too, with Landon Rupp, you know, he's going to have his hands full with a really good lineup, but he's been pitching really well under the hood and on the surface. And for that reason, I actually really like the under of 9 runs in this game. I feel like that's a pretty high number.
Rob, I'm curious, as we're, you know, more than a third of the way here through the baseball season, and we're talking off air a little bit, you're 100% with baseball. What has been kind of favorable trends or things that you've looked at when you're looking at, you know, handicapping on a day in, day out basis?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've really fallen in love with over the last, you know, 5 years of handicapping baseball really into detail is, you know, the first five market and the evolution of that. And on that side of things, what I really have kind of loved, and I took a chance with the White Sox in the first five money line today against DeGrom, that came to fruition. When you do have these sizable underdogs in Major League Baseball, man, it's a sport that any given day, something can kind of add up, whether it's hit by pitches, walks, and then a bloop single leading to a run. And when you do have that first five money line on those sizable underdogs, you almost have a double jeopardy effect where if it ends up being 2-2, 1-1, or 0-0 after the first five, you don't lose any money and you still have that chance of getting maybe 2-1 or 3-1 like the White Sox today. And there's no real other kind of bet like that in Major League Baseball markets. So that's one of the angles I've been really exploiting as of late.
Once again, talking to Rob Donaldson, who joins us courtesy of our progressive guest line. Let's look ahead to tomorrow, and I'm not just bringing this up because I'm a Nationals fan, and the 7-game losing streak has been super-duper fun. But Mackenzie Gore is on the hill tomorrow, and that's been a guy, outside of his last start, has been cashing those strikeout props at a regular basis. So the Nats a pretty hefty favorite tomorrow, around -175. Have you been backing Gore in a lot of these spots from a prop standpoint, and anything you look at tomorrow with him on the hill for the Nats?
You know, not necessarily from a prop betting standpoint with his under on unearned runs or overs on strikeouts, but he's a really good back in terms of actually giving the Nationals a chance to win games. He's also been a really good player to the unders as well. And when you are looking at the Miami Marlins lineup, as bad as it actually is, they don't strike out that much. And in large part, it's because they're jumping early on counts. And then if they do get in a deep hole, they're sort of waiting out and trying to work the counts because they know that if you kind of rely on their bats 1-9, you're not going to produce a lot of hits. So might as well try to get on base anyway else. And with Yuri Perez on the other side in this game, you know, he's coming off of a bad outing in his first start back since the IL stint, but I think his underlying numbers actually showed a lot of promise for this next following outing. The Nats offense, as you know, has been kind of anemic, and for that reason, we are seeing a total of 8 runs, and I actually do think I would take the under with a pretty solid play here.
Rob, anything else when, you know, kind of dealer's choice, when you're looking at the Sunday slate, your advanced handicap that you really like?
Well, you know, when you look at the Blue Jays on the money line tomorrow, I get it. Zach Wheeler is a very intimidating pitcher to bet against, but he has been getting touched up the last 2 outings. And this is a Blue Jays lineup that was kind of humming coming into the season, or the series rather, at plus 150, plus 152 is even what I'm seeing out there. I think it's totally worth a shot. And I think the bats might not be able to do the damage against Wheeler to a crazy extent, but I think he'll keep him in the game, and plus 150 is hard to ignore right now.
Once again, Rob Donaldson joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. Pro Handicapper at RobDFB is where you can follow him on social media. Taking a look ahead to tomorrow's slate there. You know, it's an interesting situation, right? We talked about Nats and Marlins in the sense that the Marlins could complete a 3-game sweep of the Nats. How about the Red Sox winning games 1 and 2? And now you've got Max Fried on the hill for the Yankees. They're a significant road favorite tomorrow, laying $1.88, total sitting at 8.5. Anything jump out to you for tomorrow afternoon at Fenway?
Well, you know, one of the things with the Red Sox lineup that we know is they do struggle against lefties. And now the Yankees have a kind of a perfect recipe for a sweep buster where they have their best pitcher on the bump. He happens to be a left-handed pitcher as well. And now kind of where do the Red Sox turn to? It's going to have to be Rob Refsnyder and Romy Gonzalez and Sedain Rafaela. And I don't think that's going to be enough here. And when you are looking at Brian Bayo on the other side, I think he's actually probably going to be due to give up a lot more runs than what he has been giving up as of late. And for that reason, I kind of gravitate towards maybe an outlandish Yankees run line, or even their team total over 4.5 would be the 2 plays I would look at in that game.
I want to get your take on Mets and Rays out in Flushing, with Griffin Canning on the mound for the Mets. The pitching lab has been working wonders for the Mets this season. They get a lot out of a little. Yeah. How about the Rays and the Mets with Tampa, you know, making an imprint early on in this series here, taking the first 2 games?
Yeah, I don't think it's any coincidence that they adopted the Milwaukee Brewers approach to pitching, and all of a sudden they have Griffin Canning going out there and shoving for a sub-3 ERA, and Tyler McGill, and insert random starter here. And, you know, eventually, do I think that maybe could give way to some negative regression? I do. And in particular in this game, I do think Griffin Canning is probably one of the first starting pitchers who's doing well in that rotation to kind of have a little bit of a teetering off point. And Shane Bosley on the other side, you know, he's one of those kind of league average pitchers on the surface, but man, he's got some nasty stuff. If the Rays can potentially have a chance here, I'm glad that Shane Boz is on the bump. And through the first 5 innings, again, you're getting a plus price on the Rays 3 days in a row. I say you take it. And again, you kind of have that double jeopardy into effect there too.
Helping us break down tomorrow's Major League Baseball card, Rob Donaldson joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. You know, Rob, just kind of, you know, big picture question. We saw on Friday, Paul Skeens go out, do what he normally does. No runs. But doesn't get there, I believe, on the strikeout prop. Doesn't get a win, obviously. I'm curious, how have you been attacking Paul Skeens' starts from game to game?
You know, this is kind of like a rerun of Shohei Ohtani on the Angels, where, you know, he goes out and he does his thing. And he actually even does, I think, more than what Shohei Ohtani was, in terms of he's not just going 6 or 7. He's going like 8, 9, 7 2/3. And the crazy part about it is, since he came into the league 2 years ago, and he's been electric since his debut, the Pirates are 22-17 in terms of their win-loss record in games that he's started. And man, that's just a hard number to back when the Pirates are getting juice at like minus 140, minus 130, even minus 150 against some other teams. And for that reason, it's hard to not just try to bet against that kind of inflated number because Paul Skeens' name is on the betting slip.
Rob, I wanted to go away from baseball. I know you're a huge college hoops fan, and we're a ways away from the start of the college basketball season. But transfer portal, all the movement that we have seen, obviously we've seen markets open up as well in terms of and people going out there, putting out their top 25s. Any programs that you're going to keep a keen eye on here after we saw all the player movement in the transfer portal?
Yeah, there's a number of different teams you could point to, and I'm an Iowa fan, so this has been a very exciting and unexpected sort of offseason in terms of the portal grabs, the head coaching move, and just everything in far between. But if you are looking at kind of another scenario of a team that could, quote-unquote, you know, be the next Pat Kelsey Louisville, look right in the ACC at a team that's kind of been near the bottom, and NC State. Obviously, Will Wade is a huge name, and their portal class is no joke. They're bringing in a star-studded group of talented guys. And I do feel like if you want to take a little bit of a longer shot, they would be a good bet. And even Texas A&M out of the SEC is another team where they're loaded with talent. It's just a matter of whether or not they actually gel together.
Yeah, you look at some of the numbers that are up top the board, Purdue, Houston, Duke, UConn, all in that 10 to 12 to 1 range. So look at a little bit further sometimes is can be advantageous. Hey, Rob, really appreciate it, man. Best of luck with the bets tomorrow, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rob.
Sounds good, guys.
There he is, pro handicapper Rob Donaldson joining us, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. Follow him at RobDFB. That's Mark Melusis. I'm Tim Murray. Hey, folks, with football season right around the corner and you're looking to become a sharper better, well, a VSiN Pro subscription for a year is just $199. And if you do it now, get a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. It's a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. The promo code is BOOK, B-O-O-K, VSIN.com/subscribe.
Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We keep it rolling here on a Saturday night. That's Mark Melusis over on the East Coast. I'm Tim Murray here in Las Vegas. 2-0 is the score as we are into the third period. The Panthers with that lead, and the total continues to drop in that one from a live point, live standpoint. Right now, still sitting 4.5, but heavily juiced to the under at minus $1.75. Look, Mark, if we can get out of here, well, we meaning me, 2-1, we'll take that every day of the week.
Oh, you'll take it.
First period over was a loser.
Yeah. I'll not be like your coworker years ago pointing out the Penn State pick. I will not be that.
Hey, the only one you tailed came home, baby, so we're good. 1-0.
I know. That's it. That's all that matters. It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, I mean, I think you're, I mean, if Edmonton, I mean, just, you know, you're trying to do a show and pay attention to the game. Number one, when you're watching this Florida Edmonton game, and a big thing that Paul Maurice has emphasized for the Florida Panthers is taking the potty. They've been really physical tonight with the Edmonton Oilers. If the Oilers are going to come back and rally as they've had a penchant to do in some of these games in this Stanley Cup final, Tim, they're going to have to significantly raise the amount of pressure on Sergei Bobrovsky. We're sitting here with about 16 minutes to go in the game. They've got 11 shots on goal. I mean, and that's not going to cut it. They're trailing the game 2-0. Florida's taking the oxygen out of the ice. They've taken away their space. They're controlling the tempo. I got to look at some of the analytics in terms of, I think they've won 54% of the faceoffs. I'd be curious to see in terms of puck possession in your opponent's zone. It feels like Florida has dominated that as well tonight at 2. But the Panthers have played a tremendous road game in the Stanley Cup Finals up until this point. We'll see how the rest of the game plays, but you're on the under for the game. Right now that was sitting at 6.5. It's right now sitting at 4.5. Florida leads 2-0, and the Oilers have 11 shots on goal.
Just dipped to 3.5, juiced over at DraftKings minus 166. So 2-0. First period did cash, though, as we heard from David Behrman, who in his newsletter has been riding that train, and it is now 5-0. The full game over was 4-0 heading into tonight, and we'll see if that one comes to fruition here right now. 2-0 the score midway, we'll call it 5 minutes in to the third period. Baseball today kind of wrapping up. We still have a couple games on the card. We just heard from our guest Rob Donaldson. He did like the under in Giants-Dodgers. That game is just underway at Chavez Ravine. I know you do TV work there, Mark, in New York. Did you get out to Dodger Stadium last fall for the World Series?
No, I didn't. I do a show with Nelson Figueroa, a former pitcher, with Arizona, the Mets, and stuff like that. So he got the benefit of going out to Chavez Ravine. I did not get the opportunity to go. I covered the games when they were in the Bronx between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Did not go out to Los Angeles. It's all good. It was fun. I mean, Chavez Ravine's beautiful. I mean, I think it's one of the prettiest spots to watch a baseball game. So I did not get the opportunity to go out there. Maybe if this series was extended, I would have had the opportunity to go out to Los Angeles. And unfortunately, we know it ended in the Bronx in embarrassing fashion for the New York Yankees.
The Yankees falling tonight by a final of 4-3. So they've dropped the first two games of their series against the Red Sox. But tomorrow, got Max Fried on the hill, as our guest just said. A bit of a good guy to have as a slump buster, so to speak, or however he determined it, to avoid the sweep. So a pretty significant favorite are the Yankees. And he said, not putting words out there, but he said more or less he's going to be pretty aggressive there. By the way, we have another goal from Brad Marchand. The dude is unbelievable. He has now scored 6 goals, folks, in this Stanley Cup final, and he has now made it 3-0. Brad Marchand, 2 goals tonight for the Florida Panthers, as they are now 14 minutes away, Mark.
Oh, my.
That's incredible.
Did you see that goal? Look at the jump stop by Brad Marchand away from the defenseman. And then he beats 3 Oilers.
Wow. And then goes 5-hole through Pickard.
Wow. What was Marchand's odds for understand Bennett had an unbelievable playoffs. What were his odds for Conn Smythe?
So after Sam Bennett scored, they were 12-1. Currently the odds are down. But he's got 6 goals here in this Stanley Cup final. And once again, as you pointed out, Conn Smythe is for the entire playoffs, right? Last year, it was Connor McDavid who won it in the losing effort. Sam Bennett has been remarkable this postseason. But I don't know, man. It's going to be hard to see how some folks in the media don't vote for Brad Marchand to win this if he keeps it up. Now, we've got 2 more games to go potentially after tonight. But he's got 6 goals in this Stanley Cup. He's got more goals this Stanley Cup final than he did 14 years ago when he was with the Bruins.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And no disrespect to Sam Bennett, and you're not wrong when you look at, and you're 100% correct, it's the entirety of the playoffs, right? We saw the Florida Panthers a year ago win the Stanley Cup. Who won the Conn Smythe? It was Connor McDavid, right? And so early on this series, Connor McDavid, was a favorite to win the Conn Smythe. Now, as this series has gone along, we've seen those odds obviously adjust. I'm not telling you that he deserves it. I'm just he's making an impact. Like, he's had 2 goals tonight. Say if he goes out there in a game 6 in Sunrise, Florida wins the Stanley Cup, and he goes out there and has another 2 goals. You get to a point here where the evidence, even with how good Sam Bennett has been, how brilliant Brad Marchand has been in these Stanley Cup finals has been ridiculous. He really has been. I mean, that the first goal tonight was impressive. His second goal just gave the Florida a 3-0 lead here in the third period, was a ridiculous playoff goal.
I mean, he jump cut past a defender and then went 5-hole on Cal Pickard for the goal. It was 3-on-1. I mean, there were no other Panthers in sight. And you think back to the shorthanded goal that he had in game 2 and then the game winner he had in game 2. And that was better than those 2 goals we saw. We talked Jello shots earlier in the show. We've talked comparisons to LSU Arkansas getting water out of a boat. See, the analogy worked, right? Because we got the water out of the boat like we did at my wedding. Connor McDavid just scored, so it's now 3-1. And now all of a sudden I feel terrible about my under bet. 12:36 to go. But, Mark, were you in a fraternity?
I was not. No, I was not in a fraternity.
Neither was I. Not a big frat guy, but that's beside the point. I want to tell you about this fraternity. It's called the fraternity with 5 goals in multiple Stanley Cup final series. There are 2 members.
Okay.
Mario Lemieux, Brad Marchand. That's it. That's your fraternity.
That's a pretty good fraternity.
Not a bad fraternity to be a part of. I would like to rush that fraternity.
If you are, I would rush that one as well. Like, I don't care what rush days looks like. I really don't.
The hazing might be tough from those two, you know?
That's true. I mean, and if you're in the same breath as Mario Lemieux in what you're accomplishing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, that's rarefied air. I mean, he's one of the ones, right? He's not the greatest of all time. We know that's number 99, Wayne Gretzky. But, you know, Mario Lemieux was ridiculously special. It made hockey look very, very easy over his long tenured career with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So that shows you, it kind of encapsulates what Brad Marchand's been able to do in this postseason, and especially in these Stanley Cup finals for the Florida Panthers. He's been ridiculous.
All right, so we had another goal. It was Connor McDavid getting on the board there. So it's 3-1. The Panthers still with that lead, still a massive favorite. Worth noting here, how about this? So we were at 4.5. Then we went for a brief moment to 3.5, heavily juiced to the over on the total. Bang, bang, we get goals scored in a span of about 2 minutes apart. And now the live total is 5.5, juiced over at -125. The anticipation and expectation of at least a empty netter. So the sweat might start here, Mark. It felt easy, but with these two teams and the way this series is played, and under, which has never happened, is not going to be easy, and that's going to be the case here.
Well, yeah, and you would think that, you know, listen, Florida's got to just go out there, mind their P's and Q's, and play like they did for the better part before that McDavid goal. I mean, Edmonton wants to open up the ice. You know, that's their only way of getting themselves back into this game. You know, they don't want to go back down to Florida, down three games to two. So it's a matter of wills now. And Florida, if they don't get sloppy here with the puck, you know, and get back to the way they played for the better part of two periods tonight, I don't think Edmonton's going to have enough offensive push, even with McDavid and Draisaitl, to be able to even up the score.
Hey, folks, as we're watching the Stanley Cup Final, the NBA Finals back in action on Monday night, ProfitX is offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Stanley Cup Final, 12 minutes to go in the third period. Panthers lead 3-1. Connor McDavid finally on the board with a goal in the Stanley Cup Final.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I mean, this is ridiculous at this point. Another goal?
It really is.
I mean, come on, man. It's never easy. As the saying goes, it's never under until it's over. And that is where we sit right now as Sam Reinhart scores to make it 4-1 Panthers with 8 and change to go. It's funny. I ran out. I try my best, and I'm not going to get too graphic here, but I try to stay in studio. Let's just leave it at that. All 4 hours, Mark. I couldn't pull it off. So I had to make a quick run. In between segments, and as soon as I get out there, the velvety tones of Kenny Albert, score! I'm like, God, are you serious? So,
I know, it was bark off to Reinhardt, right open in the slot, and beats Pickard clean.
Yeah. Just, unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
You got to imagine.
I was telling John during the break, before you got back in studio, I'm like, I feel bad for Tim. Like, this game... Like, this game can't go over. Like, it just is no – you have no business losing this game. Like, if it does. Like, you really don't. Well, it's got to go under.
Sometimes the pain of losses is entertaining to people out there, you know. So we'll see if it ultimately comes to fruition. You got to imagine now looking ahead to Game 6 on Tuesday night. I guess you go back to Stuart Skinner. I don't know. I mean, Knobloch's going to have a decision to make here, Mark, because Cal Pickard came in, kind of saved the day in Game 4, you know, the reliever, the backup quarterback, however you want to define it. And now he gets the start, and it ain't so pretty. This will be his first loss of the postseason, this postseason, and Knobloch's going to have a decision to make.
Yeah, and I think he could go back to Skinner. You know, I thought Pickard deserved the start tonight after what happened in Game 4. He tried it. You mentioned it, and you gave his gaudy stats this year in the postseason for the Edmonton Oilers, and he's been really, really good, right? And, you know, it's not like he's been bad tonight. It's just the fact that the Florida Panthers have got 17 shots on goal, and they've scored 4 goals. Now, some of them are beautiful. They really are. Like, you know, the Reinhardt shot was more on the defenseman not being able to control the puck off the boards. Barkov gets it, gives it to Reinhardt in the slot, and he beats Pickard clean. I mean, you know, and sometimes you're going to make that same, sometimes you're not. That's not a bad goal. The 2 Marchand goals are not bad goals, right? The second goal tonight was off a deflection, second opportunity goal by Sam Bennett. So you look at it, none of them are bad, but I could see them going back to Skinner for Game 6. But here's the problem you have for the Edmonton Oilers. It's more than the goalie. It really is. It's about controlling the tempo, the style, and the pace of the play. Well, you know, similar in basketball when we compare it to Oklahoma City and Indiana.
Yep.
Like, Florida has controlled this game. Yes, they lead 4-1, but this has not been an Oiler game. Oilers want to be a little bit more offensive-minded. Connor McDavid's got 1 goal. That's McDavid's first goal since Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals against the Dallas Stars. Like, that's stunning in nature when you think about it, about, you know, number 97, the best hockey player in the world. He's got to have more of an impact. Draisaitl's had an impact in these playoffs for the Edmonton Oilers, but, you know, Florida's been more physical. They've done a better job in the faceoff circle. They've controlled the puck. Oilers can't win that style and fashion. That was so stunning in Game 4 in the second period, was how Edmonton came out as gangbusters and really skated their way back into that game and ultimately won that game in overtime on the Draisaitl game winner. They didn't come out today with that same sense of urgency. Florida did, and they've controlled this game since the first period.
So we mentioned Brad Marchand is part of a very exclusive fraternity to have 5 or more goals in 2 Stanley Cup final series. He and Mario Lemieux. Marchand had 5 goals back in 2011. How about this? Brad Marchand has now set an NHL record for the most road goals in a Stanley Cup final with 5. And his 6 goals these finals, Mark, are the most by any player in a single year since Esa Tikkanen in 1988 with the Oilers versus the Bruins. He also had 6 goals. The dude is 37, and he's breaking Stanley Cup final records.
I love number 10, Esa Tikkanen. He was on the Rangers team in 94. Who didn't love?
I knew I would mess it up. I knew I would mess up the name. I knew Tikkanen. I wasn't sure about the Esa Tikkanen.
No. It's all good. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. Tikkanen was great. Number 10 was awesome. He was great with the Oilers and was good for a short time with the New York Rangers. Listen, he's visited the Fountain of Youth. I mean, Marchand's talked about the fact, and he's a soon-to-be free agent. You know, that, you know, he wouldn't mind staying with the Florida Panthers. Think about the moves that happened at the NHL trade deadline and, you know, the longtime Bruin agreeing to go to the Florida Panthers. Where would Florida be if Brad Marchand wasn't a part of this team? And he's been a pain in the rear end, great hockey player throughout the course of his career. And he's been brilliant in these playoffs, and he has been otherworldly in these Stanley Cup finals against the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep, there is no doubt, and this has been wild to see. And if you're listening on one of our many radio affiliates or on Sirius XM channel 158, when you get the moment, just do a quick Twitter search, and you'll find that goal from Brad Marchand, his second goal of the game, was things
great.
That you'll see for a while. So this is going to be a win for the Florida Panthers, and they're going to be up 3-2 and a chance to hoist the Stanley Cup down there in Sunrise. They were partying at the Elbow Room just a year ago down in Fort Lauderdale. We'll see if they're doing it again coming up on Tuesday night. The Elbow Room, you know, some people like nostalgia. I'll just say I'm good. I don't need to go to the Elbow Room.
I don't know if I necessarily need to go to the Elbow Room. How about if you're an Oiler fan right now Tim. Like, if you're up there in Edmonton right now, and you have
emotions,
that unbelievable,
man.
I mean, the rain, you have that unbelievable game four victory, and you come from back from the dead, and then you come back home, places rocking, that square that they show everyone wearing, you know, the Oilers jerseys, which is a beautiful sweater when you think about the NHL yeah. sweater. It's just gorgeous, right? It really is. And you're down 4-1 here, under five to go in the third period. You know, going to be down 3-2. And you don't know, this might be the last time you see them on home ice for all intents and purposes. Like, Florida's a better hockey team, let's be honest. Like, they played better for the most part in this series. They really have. And the range of emotions from that night to then what you're seeing tonight and this performance on this Saturday night at home, I mean, just staggering. Edmonton just has not played up to the capacity of what Florida brings to the table, and the scoreboard shows it.
Empty net with 4 minutes to go. What could possibly go wrong here? Hopefully, when this empty netter inevitably goes in, which I'm sure it will here from the Panthers. Oh, they just iced the puck here.
Edmonton just hit the pipe. Edmonton just hit the post.
Good God, man. Oh, my God. This is not necessary.
This is going to be, Tim, this is going to be
this is painful.
A sweat that you don't deserve.
No.
Like, this is going to be a sweat that you do not deserve tonight.
2-0 heading into the third period, and now here we are, 4-1, and we've got an empty net situation, and we've got under 6.5 with 4 minutes to go in this one. I'll tell you what, I do not want an Edmonton goal. An Edmonton goal would make it toast, because then the goalie stays empty, and then Florida is going to be able to at 5-1, you wonder if the Edmonton Oilers put the goalie back in net, so we'll see how that plays out. I want to give a quick update. The Dodgers are pouring it on right now. Bottom of the second inning, they put 4 runs in the on the board here in the fourth. Mookie Betts just had a 2-run double. Shohei Ohtani now at third. Michael Conforto an RBI double. So it is all Dodgers right now out in LA. They lead 5-0 over the Giants. Clayton Kershaw was the starter tonight there for the Dodgers, and he's gone 2 scoreless. The only other baseball game going on right now finds the Mariners up 2-0 over the Cleveland Guardians. So a 2-run first inning there for Seattle. Cal Raleigh with an RBI in that opening inning, a RBI double there for the Seattle Mariners. So we'll turn our attention to tomorrow when we wrap things up. We'll hand it off to Hoops Peterson, who's going to be coming up top of the hour here. Panthers, though, up 4-1 and trying to put the finishing touches on the Edmonton Oilers here. There is a media timeout right now here, but it's going to be headed back to Sunrise with a chance for the Florida Panthers to clinch it on home ice like they did last year. Last year was a game 7, Mark. This year, an opportunity. Yep. On Tuesday night in game 6.
Yeah, answer the call. There's no doubt. But here's my question for you, Tim. Are you feeling confidence level right now? 1 to 10. 3.5 minutes to go. You've got the under ticket. You've got 5 goals. The goalie's been pulled for the Edmonton Oilers. What's your confidence level that you cash?
4.
A 4? That's it? Only a 4?
Rather be pessimistic. Nothing worse than hope.
Than overly confident.
Nothing,
I get it.
Nothing
I understand.
Worse than hope. You know,
right.
what there is hope for is a great deal from us here at VSiN. How about a full year of a VSiN Pro subscription for $199 and the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook from Josh Applebaum? Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK, B-O-O-K, VSIN.com/subscribe.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At one point in the third period, the total had dipped to 3.5, juiced over at -166. It is now live number 6.5, juiced over -175, because what did I tell you, Mark? I don't want Edmonton
yes.
to score. Edmonton cannot score here. Down 4-1, and they did. And now it's 4-2. The goalie is pulled. We've got to sweat out 99 seconds. Come on, Wayne Gretzky. 99 seconds, baby. Get us home.
Fitting.
And I don't feel good. You asked, what was my confidence level? I said 4, because there's nothing worse than hope. And that's where we're at right now.
No, Tim, I've said it. I don't even know what other ways I can say it. Like, you don't deserve this. Like, your handicap was right for the better part of the entire game. This third period has been played differently than the first two periods of this game. Like, it is up and down action. Timeout on the ice by the Oilers. You don't deserve this sweat. You really don't. You're sitting here now at 6. A face off in the Florida zone, Pickard to the bench, 6-on-5 hockey, Drysdale, McDavid getting a little bit of a breather. And this is going to be a massive, sweaty 99 seconds.
Yes, it is. It's funny because this is Live Bet Saturday. We have, Live Bet Sunday. We've got VSiN Primetime, the show that me and Matt Humans do, where we focus on betting live. And I have myself to blame, a guy who hosts live betting shows, and I could have set up a middle multiple times throughout the evening, and I didn't do so. So, it's a lesson from a betting standpoint is when you have the opportunity to, as there it is, officially the game has gone over, the goal does hit, and just like that, it was 2-0 going into the third period, and the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers are now 5-0 to the over. Unreal. I mean, oh, wow.
Oh.
Yep. Empty netter.
Not only that, like,
he lofted it over 2 Oilers.
He lofted it. It was a three-quarter ice shot from his offensive zone that went into the back of the empty net.
Oh man, yep, that's a rough one.
Like that is. Look at that. Oh, Tim, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the beauty of sports betting.
You were right. You were right to be pessimistic. I'm not laughing at your demise or smiling at your demise. I feel for you. I really do. I don't know what to say. If I could hug you from Connecticut, I would. You didn't deserve that loss. You didn't earn that loss. Like that was a. That was a tough beat. That was a tough one.
Yep. But, we move on. Hey, one of our best bets did cash tonight. And our best bets, as always, brought to you by our friends over at GBank, who are introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. And all you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive a $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN will complete that trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, a $200 value. That's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Well, that's a bummer, but, such is life. And, the beauty, Mark, is that you're doing your show from your house, and there are many benefits to working from home. But there are also many benefits to working at the Circa Sportsbook because there's a bar about 9 feet from where I sit right now. And in 6 minutes, I will be leaving.
You can have a cocktail.
Leaving this studio, and I will be stopping by to talk to my good friend Franchise, the bartender, for a little beverage because the game has gone final. There were 40 total shots, ladies and gentlemen, and the Florida Panthers beat the Edmonton Oilers 5-2, overcashes the first period and the full game, and it is now 5-0 to the over full game, 5-0 to the over in the first period. And that was a tough one.
All right, now it begs the question. Will you go with the streak or against the streak for game 6?
I don't know. I might just have to stay off.
What will you, because you went against it tonight, and you know, got burned. And you didn't deserve the second loss, right? You really didn't deserve either of the two losses, because the game was played for the majority of this game. For two-thirds of this game, was played closely contested, like this was game seven of the Stanley Cup final. And then all of a sudden, the ice opened up in the third period. We had five goals in the third period in a game that was 2-0 going into the third. Now, the question for you, Tim, is going into game six, will you then hop on the roulette table and are you going to ride the color that's hot, or are you going to go against this as everyone's going with it? Are you going to be the lone contrarian and go against it again?
I mean, I don't know. I gotta take a cold shower after this one. It's like stinging more as it comes home. As our friend Palm Readers on Twitter said, this one hurts worse than losing with Indy plus six last night. Can't believe I had both of those beats. Sickening.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that is tough. I don't know what was worse. I did not have Indy plus six last night. So at least I don't know which one was worse, but that over and our guy David Behrman, hey, congrats, brother. You know, that's the good thing about betting is, you know, we used to do a segment on a show once upon a time, Mark, called Treats and Beats. And, like, you know, there's always someone on the other side that's always happy. And 75% of the bets were on the over. And they get it home. Man, that is – I might have to lead the show tomorrow with just
– You got to
– dissecting the over cashing here in this one.
Well, here's the one thing. At least you weren't – the better part, you were doing a show. We were doing a show here. It's not like you were sitting in your living room watching this. Like, you were distracted to a certain extent, which adds to it and takes away from it. So, you know, it's – you didn't deserve it. It's a terrible beat. But as you mentioned, 75% of the people tonight are celebrating. They're
a lot of people.
The champagne.
Look, tons of people are happy. First period over cashes, full game over cashes. You know, congratulations to the people. And here's the thing. If you go back to the start of the show, ladies and gentlemen, the smartest man in the room might be the gentleman sitting there in Connecticut, because what did you do? You tailed one of my three plays.
I did.
And it was LSU Arkansas under, which did cash. And you said, no, I am not going to do it. You said you wouldn't bet against me. But you decided
I would not.
Yeah.
I did not bet the over in the game, but I tailed your college baseball pick, I was thankful for that. But when you were selling me on the under in this game, I was like, now I didn't think this game was going to play out the way it did. I did not think that all of a sudden we'd have five goals. I did not think we'd have five goals in the third period, including an empty netter from three quarter ice. To seal the over in the game. I did not think that would be the way that it would go down, but I was not going to tell you on the under either.
All right, quick update. Hoops Peterson's going to get us covered top of the hour here. Obviously, game five of the NBA Finals Monday night. Game six, we've got lines. The Panthers open as a -142 favorite against the Oilers in game six. And the total, 6.5 juiced under, -115. I don't know. Maybe we go back to the well. We'll see. I have until Tuesday to decide.
Yeah, I would take Florida. I think this series is going to end in six. I think I would take Florida in game six minus the 142.
I will be back tomorrow morning, bright and early, 10 a.m. Eastern. We're going to have a bunch of college baseball guests on. The guy who gave us the play, Mark, Jimmy Ott, is going to join us in hour two, who did like the under tonight. So two more baseball games tomorrow in college, a full slate of the MLB, plenty of NBA coverage as well tomorrow on the VSiN weekend morning line. So I'll be back bright and early here on VSiN. Mark, I would say it's been fun. It's been fun working with you. The end of this show feels like, you know, I got kicked in the fellas a little bit, but there's always a beverage waiting for you somewhere. Maybe not a Jell-O shot.
No, not a Jell-O shot. Well, Tim, it's been a blast, man. Enjoy the last 4 hours. Great working with you. Enjoy that cocktail. You deserve it, man. Yeah. And I'm sorry.
Hey,
I feel bad.
That's the joys of sports betting, right? Sometimes you're on those sides of an unfortunate, lucky cover, and sometimes it's just a brutal beat. Unfortunately, It was the latter tonight. That's Mark Melusis. I'm Tim Murray. I'm back with you 10 a.m. tomorrow here on VSiN. Up next, we got Hoops Peterson with Cashing Out. For Mark Melusis, I'm Tim Murray. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.